Blog Talk Radio.
One day.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
This is Leonard Johnson from South Carolina calling in Hammer Time radio show. And boy, it's been a rough week. Not necessarily a rough week, but it's been a trying time. First of all, let me apologize to everybody for Sunday. We got glitches all over the place. We were trying to do a couple of things and we got glitches and just can connect with anything. So we postponed the show until tonight, and we were able to get our guest to agree to come back on, you know, because whenever possible, we make it, you know, we just want to give the platform to the guys to talk to them, and we just picked another day, and he was able to do it. So here we are on Tuesday night edition of the Triple Hammer Report. Again, thank you guys for all the support that you've given us and everything and all the kind words. I do appreciate it. You know, we do it for you. We do it for to see how what people are doing with the program and to show you that this thing still works. We all do it a little differently, but you know, the basic thing is it still works. If you know of anybody in the country that that is doing anything special with single wing, double wing, let me know. We'll get them on the show and we'll talk about this program because it's amazing that all the people that we have talked to this year, each one of them has had a different approach to how they build their program and some of the things that they do. You know, they learn from other people, but they put their stamp on it. I guess now they call it their brand and do what they do best. And, I'm sitting in the seat. I learn a lot and some things that I've implemented in our program because each program is different and things that you can take and meld it into yours, you know, that is good. So enough of my blabbering and everything. I'm glad that you're here. And again, if you have any questions to our guests, you can always call in. Eric 516-418-5610. You call that number, we'll get you on with your guests, comments, or whatever, and get you to participate in the program. Let me see if I can bring our guests on. Our guest is, I heard him speak a couple of years ago, I think, at the Single Wing Conclave, again, which is this weekend. So, all of you who are going up there, I know you're going to have a blast of a time. But I heard him speak about his program a couple of years ago, and I was impressed, again, with his presentation. I was impressed with his presence on the stage and everything. And he always stuck out, you know, in my mind about, you know, about things. And I said, well, you know, let me see if I can get him on the show. And I called him a couple of weeks ago. He agreed. And so let's see if we can get Brunson on the air right here. Let's see if I can hit, if I don't mess this up. Let's see if I get the right button right here. Brunson, are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Hey, all right, man. I didn't screw this up tonight. How you doing?
Yeah,
tonight,
we had a hard time with it.
Yeah,
I'm pretty good.
We had some challenges, yeah. Yeah, how's everything going with you?
It's going great. Ain't the right in the midst of lifting weights and getting the off season going pretty strong and heavy, and man, you couldn't ask for anything better.
Yeah, Brunson is in Mount Pleasant High School, right?
Yes, sir. Mount Pleasant High School in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee.
Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. I don't know why I was saying it was Columbia, Tennessee, but Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. And
well,
you want to tell you want to? I'm sorry.
Columbia is our county seat. We're in Murray County, but Columbia is a county seat, and we're outside of it.
Okay, gotcha. Okay. That's where I got Columbia from. Okay, I was researching everything, and that's where I got the Columbia from. You want to introduce yourself to all of our people, because unless you are in the Brotherhood, nobody would ever know who Brunson Bradley is. So you want to talk to
right,
us?
Yeah. I'm 37. And I've been I'm married to a beautiful lady. I've outkicked my coverage on that, Shantae Castile Bradley. I'm a father to Kylie Bradley. I love preaching the gospel and talking about Jesus. I'm an educator at Mount Pleasant High School, and I've been in teaching for 15 years. I've also been coaching in football, in high school football, for 15 years. I enjoy lifting weights. I'm a power lifter. Been doing that for a long time, since high school. I've been into powerlifting. I've been a championship, winning championships in that. Currently running the football program, like I said, at Mount Pleasant High School, and we do run the single wing. I've been personally running it since about 2006, I suppose. That's about all. I enjoy what I do. I love teaching school, and I love coaching football, and man, you just got to love it, and that's what I've been doing for 15 years, and you never work a day in your life if you do what you love.
You say you've been doing the single wing since 2006. How did you get involved with it?
Well, I was a young coach, and I'd been a defensive coordinator for about 4 years, under Coach Rick Rice. And Rick Rice around here is the guru of the split back veer. And he just runs the heck out of it, and been running that for as long as I've known him. And he coached me in high school and gave me my first job coming out of college. And he ran that offense for 4 years at a place called Perry County High School. And he was thinking about moving on. And his last year, he said, Brunson, he said, I want you to run the offense. And I told him, okay. He said, but I don't want you running what I run. I want you to run something that you want to run. You know, and he said, he's giving it over. And I thought, man, that is awesome. I love it. He had enough courage and enough thoughts about me to let me have the offense and completely have it. And I'm just 5 years out of college. So I'm thinking about what can we run here, because the split back wasn't really working for us that year. And he knew that. And that's why he let me have it. So we were at a championship game, and in the Tennessee championships, high school championship game, and an old man was sitting next to us, me and Coach Rice, and he was sitting next to us, and a team had run they were running this wing T, but they'd gotten their shotgun formation, and it was a single wing formation, and the old guy started talking about it, and of course, I was young, and I didn't have a clue what he was talking about, so I didn't ask right there and embarrass myself. I waited till we got back to school. And I asked Coach Rice, I said, man, what is he talking about when he said the single wing? I said, I've never heard of that. So he drew me up a formation, and he said, this is what it is. And he said, I'll let you do the rest. So I started looking, and I found Mike Rude. And I think he's in Ohio, or he was in Illinois. I can't remember what state he was in. Do you know?
Yeah, Mike was in Illinois.
Yeah, and he was, I guess he had had some videos or something out at the time. So I looked him up, and I got his information, and he sent me some videos and stuff, and man, I fell in love with it. I've always been told that if you go with somebody else's system, you might as well go full blast in it. So that first couple of years, I went whatever Mike Rude was doing, that's what I did. Numbering system, he had the old Delaware system where it went 1 to 9, straight across the board. So I started doing that, and I only put in 9 or 10 plays that year. And the next season we went, we had a very young team. We were building the program at the time, and we doubled. We went 4-6 and was in every ball game. I think we lost 6 ball games by a total of 7 points. I mean, we were in every ball game, and it was unbelievable, that school and stuff. And I said, man, I just fell in love with it, and the rest is history. After a couple of years, I started putting my own spin on it and changing it around and doing my own terminology, and that's where I got – that was my – single wing story, how I got into it. And I went to, I guess it was about that time I went to my first conclave too, and met Doc Ward and all those guys.
What makes yours, your brand of single wing different than any others? Because I think when you brand it, that's when you really grow into it.
Oh yeah, I think, and you said brand. We've been using that word a lot here lately, branded, because I think not enough teams do that. You don't brand yourself and get your players out there, and talk about your players and just put a brand on it like you're trying to sell something. And I think single wing guys do the best job at branding their offense and their football. I don't know what if you look at their highlights, when you look at the game tapes and what they do, man, they do a great job of branding their version of football. And my version is we run the power, and I love the half spin. And then I've been adding for a long time. Like I said, I grew up in a split back veer, so I started adding options. And if you could think of an option, I probably ran it or tried to run it out of the single wing formations. And I've just about perfected it. I think last year we did a really good job with a freshman quarterback, and I think this next year – and probably the year after that, we're really going to be good at running options out of what would normally look like a straight power set. We're going to be able to get in some motion stuff and run some option out of it. And we run like I said, spread option. We run or a speed option rather, not spread. We run the speed option. We run the what everybody else calls a power read out of it. I think a zone read is what a lot of guys call it, but we don't zone block. So we don't call it that. We call it the power read. We run a midline out of it. We run the veer mostly to the weak side when they over, especially when somebody overloads us to our blocking back. We love running the veer back to the weak side. We gained a lot of yards out of that this year. If we were a little faster, we'd probably score a whole lot more out of just that one play.
You, now how long have you been at Mount Pleasant?
This will be I'm going into my fourth year at Mount Pleasant.
And was it a tough sale? Yeah, was it a tough sale to your kids, the single wing?
I don't think so, because we didn't have – the first year I was there, we didn't have a typical quarterback. We've got – and Mount Pleasant is – we're 100% free and reduced lunch. I mean, we're really – economically, it's a really low place to be when we first got here. So it's a wide diversity of players that we're proud – we're about 50-50 African American and white, and we've got a lot. It's a little town, but it's almost like a little urban area out in the middle of nowhere. It's a crazy thing. In 1971, it's when the school was built, and it got pretty much the same building, and it was one of the first schools in Tennessee to desegregate. Is that right? Did I say that right? They integrate the schools. They had two high schools here. The black high school and the white high school in this little bitty town, and they were the first schools to combine those schools in 1971, And I still, one of my coaches on my staff came from the old black school and still working with me today. And, man, he's got some stories to tell. But they integrated them schools back in 71. And so that kind of gives you an idea of where we're at in the South. Here in Tennessee, there's not a lot of schools like that. There's the, you know, you got the metro schools, obviously, in Nashville and stuff. But for urban area, for a rural area, we're kind of out in the middle of nowhere. So we're different than a lot of other programs around. But when I first come in, they were a lot of athletes, not a lot of discipline. And they always had to run where they could almost get to the state championship, but lack of discipline kind of kept them from doing it. So that was the first thing we did was, you know, we had to install that part of the program, get some discipline in our program. And but the single wing, I think, helped out a lot because we didn't say, hey, you're the only athlete, take us to the state or whatever. We're going to use four or five guys back here running the ball, and it may snap to this fullback, you know, right behind the guard. And that, man, they loved that stuff. They that was something a little different than what they've always been used to, you know. And that first year we had almost three or four kids that we had two kids that passed for over 800 yards. Two different kids passed for 800 yards, and had a 1,000-yard rusher, and another kid that rushed for nearly 1,000. But yeah, that first year really helped me out to get the program sold. Because once that happened, it was like everybody wanted to play. You know, even kids that, you know, everybody wanted to be a blocking back. And I thought that was weird because, you know, you think nobody wants that position, but everybody wanted to play that position. Something they'd never seen before. They loved being able to throw the ball and run the ball. Loved the balance of it because I do try to keep it pretty balanced. So the selling of the program itself wasn't too hard. I think especially my first year, I was blessed to have some really good athletes that were told they weren't going to be very good, and we ended up going to the third round of the playoffs, which were really big at the time. And somebody said, you did too well in your first year. They're going to expect more out of you from now on. And but we've been blessed with athletes, blessed with a lot of Jimmys and Joes that are doing a great job of trying to run our program.
And your staff is pretty solid.
That's my staff. My first 2 years, I didn't have much of a staff. I had the man who was with me, Coach Baker. He'd been at, like I said, Mount Pleasant for a long time. He played there in the 70s, and he's been an assistant ever since. But as far as, you know, he's not working at the school. He's a head softball coach at the middle school and does all kind of other stuff. So I didn't have a real solid staff. And they said they were going to hire me two really good guys. And I interviewed them, and neither one of them worked out. Something with the administration when I first got into Mount Pleasant, and they just didn't work out. So that first year, I did just about 100% of everything, the offense, defense, special teams, weightlifting, you name it, and I did it. I was pretty much the only coach around there at the time. I had a couple of assistants that were okay at the time, and then they got better. I recruited the radio guy to be my guy in the booth because he knew exactly what I was looking for, and I heard him on the radio one day, and I said, man, I need somebody like that because I didn't have a booth guy. So my second year, I recruited him, Coach Brewer. I said, I need you off the radio and on a headset. And, man, he's been awesome for me ever since. He knows exactly what I'm looking for. They line up, and he's just like a radio guy in my headset, telling me what they're fixing to run and everything. So I did some recruiting around the school. And so my second year, I was doing the offense, defense, found a guy named Ned Rich, awesome guy. He's coming with a conclave with me this week. But he's a businessman. But he loves kids. He's a big minister and loves youth, and that's what I was looking for as well, somebody that would just pour into the youth. If they need a pair of shoes, he's going to buy it for them. We don't have a lot of money, so if they need something, he's going to get it for them, and all they got to do is show up and he's gonna play football, and they know Ned Rich is going to take care of them, and Coach Bradley will too. But we're going to do that, so I added him. He's been awesome to my staff. And in this past year, I finally got a good defense coordinator and a man named Scott Courtney. He's been at the conclave with me a couple times. He brings the moonshine a lot up there, and everybody at the conclave loves that guy. We've always been at separate schools, and I finally talked him into coming and coaching with me at Mount Pleasant High School. So that's been a huge blessing. So each year my staff gets just a little bit better, and I'm almost to the point where I've been working on my middle school staff. You know, because one thing that Mount Pleasant didn't have when I first got here is everybody was doing their own thing. Middle school, and we got a school, we call it the Mount Campus, and all the schools are real close. You can see each school. And the middle school was, their football program was running totally different from what the high school program was, and the youth program was running something totally different than everybody else. So that's what I'm working on now. I think I've got the middle school finally buying in. They're gonna run my program this next season. I've got a meeting with the youth president of our youth league. He said he's bought in. He's gonna run what we run, and even if it's not what we run, we're gonna get the terminology. Everybody's gonna have the same terminology. We're gonna have the everybody from the youth all the way up to high school running this running what we've run. That way, when I get to me and I tell them it's 46 power, they know exactly what 46 power is. They don't have to be told anything except maybe coach it a little better in high school. But
so it took you about 2 to 3 years to get that solid.
Yep, this is my third year, and I'm just now getting that part of it solid. And I hopefully start seeing that all come together this next year, this next season.
Now, did you have a lot of pushback, or you just didn't have the time, or why did it take you so long to do it?
The first had a little pushback early, I guess, because they've had other coaches, and I kind of understood it. They wanted to make sure I was staying, right?
Okay.
Mount Pleasant sometimes been used as a stepping stone just to get somewhere else, and maybe that's kind of what they felt like. And I told them, you know, it's not a stepping stone to me. It's, you know, it's kind of a destination for me, and that's kind of the way I sold myself in my interviews, and it kind of worked out. And I said, now this is what we're going to do. It may take a little bit, and I told them, I gave them a 4-year plan, and so far it's going according to my plan, trying to get everybody on the same board, plane by the fourth year that I'm going into now.
You, your administration is pretty supportive of you?
Yep. Well, you know, I've been through two administrations in 3 years.
Okay.
The present administration is totally is awesome. If you're a football coach, you always want a good administrator, and I think we have hit a home run with the guy we've got now, Dr. Ryan Jackson. He's brought an energy level to this school that I've never seen in any of my schools that I've ever been to. We're creating he's created what's called the STEAM campus, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math, and it's a K-14. He's uniting all the schools. Everything that I was trying to do with football, uniting all these schools, he's doing it with education. And it's, like I said, and you heard me right, I said K-14, because we're adding a two-year technology school right on our campus. So those kids can go, as soon as they graduate high school, they go right across the road, and they've got a little two-year college there they can go to, something that's never been offered at many places. So, like I said, he's teaching kids to have courage to create their own destiny. You know, the kids we have around here, sometimes they think, well, high school's it for me, and I'm going to work at a factory, or I'm going to, be on the streets or do something else. But now that, you know, we've given that courage to say, hey, you can be a boss somewhere. You know, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, we're going to find a way. Whatever you like to do, whether it be in the arts, if it's technology, if it's engineering, whatever it is, we're going to find what you like to do, and we're going to make that your strong point before you graduate. So we're not trying to – and I always say you can't make a kicker into a quarterback, right? You can't – if he's a kicker, he's probably going to be a kicker. You can't force him to be a quarterback. And that's what, you know, a lot of times our schools in the United States, our schools try to force kids, you know, you're not good at math. Well, you, that's all you can do. You better be good at math or you're not going to graduate. Or you better be good at English or in all this literature or you're not going to graduate. You know, it kind of got that into it. But we're going to focus on what they're good at. And in the STEAM campus, that's what we're, if you're not good at math, well, you've got to be good at something. So we're going to focus on that and make you better at it and get you into college somewhere. And so, man, he, what he's doing in the schools and he and the way he supports our athletics, because he knows that that's where those kids have that outlet at. And so when you talk about administration, man, I get very prideful because I think I got one of the best administrations in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you the athletic director there, or you have someone else in that role?
No, sir. There's another athletic director. I do it at the school. I'm the head football coach, and this year I started coaching track, which is an experience that I've never done before. And I'm I've always been the strength and conditioning coach.
Okay. Now, how are your kids academically at your school? I mean, I know you got all those geniuses right there, right?
No, we don't have a lot of geniuses. We're an average school. You know, we're struggling ACTs and all that kind of stuff, just like most urban schools do. But we're working on that. We're getting that better. We try to, if anything keeps our kids from going to college on scholarships for playing ball, it's usually their grades. And that's just been that's something we got to change, and that's something we're working to change here at Mount Pleasant. I signed two guys last year to Bethel University, which is a small NAI school here in Tennessee. That most of the kids, they don't get that far. They sign somewhere because they're good athletes, but when they get there, they can't handle the college part of it, the school. And that's something when we got here that they wanted me to change. And so we've been working on that. We got high standards, just like all other football coaches do. You got to have those high standards. And we're focused on building a winning program, the long game, and not just winning seasons. And that, a lot of that has to do with the academics. And I read somewhere today about being a tough coach. And I think I shared that on Facebook, as a matter of fact, where you set standards and for your students and your athletes, but then you got to be tough enough that if they're not following those standards, that you do something about it. I think Corey Parker was talking about that a couple of weeks ago on your show. And that's something that this past year I found out that the toughness sometimes is not easy. The first 2 years I was here, kids fell in line, you know, nobody was bucking up. You know, they knew that, you know, they, I don't know if they were trying to call my bluff or what, but this past year I had about seven seniors that thought they were going to buck the system, that they were going to make some bad choices, character goals. They weren't buying into our character goals or our academic goals. And this one kid I thought could play D1. And I gave him thousands of chances. I talked to him in my office. And then finally I said, well, it's too late. You know, we had a discussion, and I told him flat out, I said, we're in a year from now, you're going to look back, and you're going to either regret the decision you make today, or you're going to come up to me and thank me. And I had that conversation with two different kids there, and one of them thanked me, and the other one said, I regret the decision, because he decided not to go with our character goals, and I had to let him go. And seven seniors thought they could, you know, buck the system, and turned out they didn't. And it you know, it cost me some games. Instead of having this big, huge 6'3", 215-pound quarterback, I've got a freshman, you know, that I'm starting, and I ended up having to start six freshmen, and we went 1-9 this past season. But you know what? What I always brag on my staff, because no player quit us in that whole season. You know, I think we were 0-6 before we won our first game, and a lot of times when you're 0-4, kids start leaving, you know, and they start saying this ain't for me, or they don't want to be a part of this program no more. But great expectations of my coaches and the way we handled those kids each and every day, that Not a one of them quit, and I brag on my coaching staff for that. We did a good job of keeping those kids together and keeping them on track, even when they weren't having success. So this past season wasn't very good. We were good offensively, but our youth showed on defense. You know, you can scheme up touchdowns, but you can't get a freshman to go tackle a 18-year-old. It's a little tougher to do that, you know. But, yeah, that's where that toughness comes in. And our academics, so we've got want to keep them to a 2.5. We try to get them up there at that high. A lot of them got 2.0s, 2.1, stuff like that. If they get below that, then they're going on probation. So I got two or three of them, you know, that couldn't play last year because they were ineligible academically. So we held them to the fire. And this past year, I think, was a case of that, showing that toughness and sacrificing one season for our end goal, which would be a winning program.
Mm-hmm. Well, those kids, the ones who left, did they really appreciate what you did, or were they bucking you off?
Yeah, it was one of them things where I guess they thought that because they were who they were, that Coach Bradley wasn't going to kick them off, that they could do whatever they wanted to and show up when they wanted to and do what work at school they wanted to. And they just had that in their mindset. And I told them, and it ended up that they just won too many times. So I let him go, and he tried to play basketball, and the basketball coach did the same thing. So it was a program thing. It was across the school. You gotta do that work if you don't play ball.
Oh, so you got a basketball coach who actually worked together with you?
Oh yeah, he same kid, you know, was a senior, so we let him on the team after Christmas. But made him ride that bench. He never did get starting. He never did start, and because he couldn't get his act together. He did let him stay on his team, which I thought was all right. Helped him with his grades and stuff. You know, give him a little incentive, some goals. But it was a little too late for football.
Okay, well that's good. I hope the kid learned his lesson and go on
I think
and do
he did.
A great thing.
Yeah, I think he will. He's go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I said I think he will. He's in classes now. He's working on graduating. I think he's on the right path. We put him in a program to get a credit to catch up on the credits. So yeah, we didn't just leave him out there. We're gonna see him through it. And I think he's finally turned the page where he thinks you know, graduation's right around the corner for him. And so he's bucked down and he started doing the work. I just wish he would have had that attitude last year, and it would have been a totally different story, and we would probably ended up with some championships because there was three or four of them was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that you were into powerlifting and everything until I started doing some research on you. How do you integrate the powerlifting into your weight program?
Well, I've been powerlifting for a long time, and I usually and that is what really took my weightlifting program really took off after I got to Mount Pleasant, you know, and I wasn't just telling these kids about how lifting weights will win championships and how important they are. They see me win a championship, and they say, Coach Bradley must know what he's talking about. So they get in there, and we do like every other team, we'll have plyometrics and stuff, but every day we have a strength part. And we start off with real heavy weights. So we'll have two or three stations where we're lifting really heavy, and then we'll go a little lighter, and we end up with some plyometrics and running and that kind of stuff every day. And we really integrated that, and coming up in April the 8th, we're going to have a powerlifting competition, and then April 22nd, we're going to have a state lifting competition, and most of my football players will be in on that. So we do a lot of powerlifting, a lot of Olympic lifting, power cleans, snatches, and cleaning jerks, which I think helps the explosion goes right with football, what you want with in football. Coming off the line with a great hip explosion, and I think powerlifting does a great job of teaching those kids that.
Mm-hmm. No, you, you've been competing powerlifting ever since you got there, or are you just starting that? Just starting with the competition.
I've been powerlifting for probably 20 years now, and I go to about 3 national championships a year, state championship a year.
You personally powerlift?
Do I?
You personally?
Yeah, I personally powerlift. I still do it to this day. I'm pretty good at it. If I'm just to be honest.
Man, you young guy just pisses me off.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, man.
Yeah.
And you see a vast improvement with your kids with the weight program. Do you lift during the season also, or you just taper down?
Yeah, we lift at least 2 days during the off season. Usually on Monday, Tuesdays, and sometimes on Wednesdays, just depending on what the week, how we're looking during the week. If I think we're not being focused enough, we'll get in the weight room and add 30 minutes to the, you know, add 30 more minutes to practice, which they don't like. So that gives a little incentive. Hey, we need to bust our butt on Monday and Tuesday in the weight room, so we don't have to on Wednesday. Because that Wednesday practice, you know, that's usually the longest for us. And they want to, you know, they don't want to be out there longer than necessary.
That's good. Now, what about your parents? What kind of buy-in do you have with your parents? Are they very supportive of you?
The ones that I have, they are very supportive. We're just now getting to where I got a lot of parent involvement. We don't have a lot. You know, at my first parent meeting this past season, I had maybe 4 sets of parents show up. So that part's kind of frustrating. I do have a lot of single parents, kids in my on my team. A lot of them have single moms that, you know, work a lot. So I do understand that. But it's getting better. We'll have about 40 kids. And I usually have at least half of them have good parent involvement. I think this upcoming group has got probably the best that I've seen in the 4 years I've been here.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have you haven't had any issues with most of them with you know, what they're telling you, what their son should play, or this you should be throwing the ball more, or you know, you don't have anything negative on.
No, I could probably say I have, you know, other than the typical Friday night yellers, you know, that'll tell you pass the ball or something like that. I've had 0 parent issues of somebody thinking that their kid needs to play more, or that we need to throw the ball more or anything like that. Because I mean, we're offensively, and I tell them, like, if you just watch film, we're pretty balanced. I mean, this past season, even with a freshman, you know, my freshman quarterback set a school record. He passed for 1,000 yards, and we also had 2 kids. One kid rushed for 1,000, and another kid almost did. So we're pretty balanced as far as that goes. So I don't think I've given anybody a chance to yell at that part. When you trust a freshman to throw that much, but no, I've not had that problem. Luckily, I hope I won't. But knock on wood. But you know, sometimes if you have that problem, it means you just got a lot of parents that are involved.
Yeah, and that's true also. That's true also.
Yeah.
Now, do you what's a good word to use here? Do you let your kids participate? Do you share your kids with other sports?
Yes, I do. Play multiple sports.
Yeah.
And I encourage them to play multiple sports. And we, for the most part, we're pretty good at that. The basketball coach is good at it. Like I tell them right after football season, if you're not playing basketball, if you're not playing baseball, your next sport is weightlifting or track. Because, you know, we just started track this past year. So I said, we'll get you into something else. You're not just going to go home and sit. So you better get into either basketball or baseball or something. Or you're going to be with me every afternoon. And I've got about... you know, we out of the 40 players, I think over half of them play another sport. I got a lot of basketball players. I just got them back. They just got put out of the tournament, so I got them back, and they jumped right into weightlifting. Those that don't play baseball, you know, I had them going into baseball, and the others just jumped right into weightlifting. So, yeah, as far as sharing athletes, I think we're pretty good at that, and I encourage it. I think some of your best players are going to be your three-sport athletes because even though they're not lifting weights, they're still out there running and being physical and learning. I think the biggest thing is learning how to compete, just competing mm-hmm. in something and going up against another man in a sport. Well, it teaches you a lot more than just sitting at home or playing video games.
I can agree with you on that. Do you have your kids well, let's put it like this. Do your kids combine football together with your linemen and whatever? Do they throw the shots? How do you do that? How have you tracked this year since this is your first year? As far as with your offseason, do you integrate your offseason program?
Yeah, I have this since I just started track. I've got about six kids that want to do it, and so far, after we lift, all my kids lift together, even our baseball team. Like today, man, I think I had 50 kids in there working out, man, and when that weight room's full, my heart's glad, and that's what I told the coach today, man. I said, this is awesome. We got a weight room full of kids, but all of them were track and baseball and football all working out together, and then we work out about an hour, and then we go baseball, do their hitting and throwing and whatever they do, and I'll take the track kids, and we'll go sprint some, and the football players, they'll run with us for a little bit, and I let them go. But yeah, that's how we do it. We have them all in there together, and then we split up and do their individual sports from then.
So you telling me you got baseball players lifting weights?
Oh yeah, I got. I'm lucky because the baseball coach is Scott Courtney, my defense coordinator. So I said, boy, you better have them in there lifting weights. And he said, oh, yeah, we'll lift. And, man, they even lift on game day. So, mm-hmm. man, I'm tickled pink to have him as a baseball coach.
I don't know where they get this this thing from that other sports cannot lift weights. It just it has blown me away every school I've been to. And I asked the coach, I said, what century are you living in? are you living?
Yeah, the way we've got it set, I mean, way that scientifically and nutritionally and all the things we've got set up, you can train anybody on game day, and you know, even maybe I could see maybe not training a pitcher on the day he's pitching, but mm-hmm. as far as weight training goes and getting them stronger, man, that goes along with every sport. And yeah, like you, I just can't comprehend why people are still like that.
Just blows me away, since that's what the kids are going to be doing anyway if they get an opportunity to go to somebody's school. You know,
absolutely.
It just blows me away. You, I know you went to the conclave and everything. Who do you like to listen to most of anything? You know, who would you like to spend more time with when you go to the conclave?
Oh, man. Of course, I think Doc Ward, just because he's been around so long, and you too. I think that when y'all are there, when all three of y'all are together, and I just sit there and just soak it all up. And a lot of people, you know, when they first heard me speak on stage there, were kind of surprised that I was even able to talk, because I didn't talk a lot. And mm-hmm. I said, man, if I'm going to a place, and there's all these guys that have got tons of information, and they've got years of experience, going, I'm not going to speak. I'm going to shut up and listen. And then when it's my turn, then I'll do it. But, man, if there's somebody else that's got that much experience, I'm just sitting back, and I'm going to soak it all in like a sponge. I went to maybe four conclaves before I spoke, and they said, man, I didn't know you could talk like that, or I didn't know you could even speak. And I said, man, I've been – If you're doing it right, you're going to learn a whole lot more than you're going to speak. But yeah, I'd like when I go up there this weekend, man, I'll get with whoever and just listen, and then I'm sure some younger guys can get some from me. But yeah, all you older coaches, no offense, but I like to listen to all you guys. And even if it's not about, even when it's not about football, man, y'all talk about maybe issues with administration or parents or just any kind of story. I just like sitting there and listening, listen to it. And of course, the like Doc Ward and if you ever, you know, Rick Darlington, if you're ever around him, you can't just stop and listen and let him talk. Something wrong with
mm-hmm.
you. Because those guys got a lot of information to share.
You say you're carrying one coach with you this year?
Yeah, I'll bring in one of my coaches this year. And in the past, I've always brought Al Corlew, usually comes with me, but he won't be making it this year. Al's not going to be able to make it this year.
Okay.
I think he said he's fixing to retire, and he wants to save up his days so that he can retire earlier this year. I think he's going to retire at the end of in the end of April.
Mhm.
So he's not making. He's sad about it, but he ain't going to make it this year.
Nah, I'm going to miss seeing him. Good Lord.
Yep.
Yeah, I've known Al since we went to a wing clinic together many moons ago. And he was with Ray Green. I don't know if you know Ray. But he was coaching with Ray Green at that school there. And I think it was in Nashville. I can't remember the name of the school.
Yep, Nashville.
Al goes a long way back and everything, man. Good guy.
Yep.
He'd be transporting that stuff across the state.
Yeah, hopefully we can still bring some of it. I think he might give me some.
Yeah, I tell guys all the time, I say, guys, if there's one thing that you do and you run this type of offense, and really not if you run the type of offense, if you go down there and just the camaraderie that we have down there, you know, people getting to know the relationships that are built and everything is real. You know, people don't understand how real it is. You know, you actually got people who actually help you along the way who, you know, and you keep in contact with them and they will give you the shirt off the back, you know, to help you to be successful. If you were to sit down with a young coach today, what advice would you give them?
A young coach, I would probably just what I said, just to sit back and don't get too, excited or pushy to be a head coach. I think just take your time, learn as much as you can from the older generation. And I always tell guys that I coached when they tell me they want to be a football coach, I say always try to find you a good winning program and be an assistant at that winning program. And just sit there and be an assistant for, you know, 5 or 6 years and try to work your way up to being a coordinator somewhere. But if you just sit back and not get too not too much in a hurry to have your own program, you'll be a whole lot better. And I think that's probably what I'd tell somebody, because I think my first head coaching job was only 5 years, and I didn't keep it long. You know, you get I was a young coach, and you know, you get almost too big for your britches. And I think just take your time and don't ought to try to be that head coach. Learn from as many different coaches as you can. Learn from many different styles, and not just X's and O's. I'm talking about the program stuff, weightlifting, and how they do their parent meetings, and what they do at school, how they treat their administrators. What makes for a good, you know? Ask all those kind of questions before you get into just trying to get every job that comes open.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I said, of course, you always got to make time for family and all that kind of stuff. Don't get too involved in it, because it is, at the end of the day, it's just high school football. It's not the end of the world.
How do you get your family involved in your Inwood football? Because I see that as a key here for a lot of coaches.
Yeah, well, my wife gets aggravated at me sometimes, because I need, like I said, when I first got here at Mount Pleasant, I didn't have anybody. It wasn't much of a staff. So she was my filmer. She filmed the games for me, and she said, well, she wants to watch it. And then she got to sitting with other parents and listening to yelling and stuff, and she said, maybe I don't want to sit down here. So she films a lot of the games. Yeah, she films some games, and this past year, my little girl, she was filming. She did some iPad filming of the games for my defense coordinator. He said film it the first half and bring it down to her. So she would film on her iPad, and then bring him the iPad at halftime and let you know, do our halftime adjustments looking at the film she did. Man, they both do a great job. I love it. I tell her, like, if I've got some more people that like to film, but I always say, you got to go up there and you got to tell them exactly how I like it, because I don't want it too close and I don't want it too far. I want it just right. And my wife knows exactly what I'm talking about. And I said, I don't know how to explain it to anybody else, but she does a good job of getting the other people. I finally did get a couple to help me. But Shantae's always there. She's ready to jump in there and help whatever. She cooks brownies on Wednesdays for the boys, and that's one of their favorite times is when she makes brownies or cookies, and that's a favorite day. They can't hardly wait for me to get over practice and get in there and get those brownies she's made. But she also does she's also an assistant basketball coach at our high school. So she's involved in that too. So we're a coaching family, and wouldn't have it any other way.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure she appreciates you, you know, especially when you get them involved in what you're doing. They have a different appreciation. They see you differently. Let's put it like that. They see some of the stuff go through.
Yeah.
When you you mentioned a minute ago that you were head coach before. Did I hear you correctly?
Yes, sir. I was.
And how long did that one last?
1 year.
Welcome to the club. I was at one that lasted 1 year too. Okay.
And I was at a place where, you know, when you're hired by committee, I always say be aware of other guys when they go in an interview. Be aware of being hired by committee, because there's really just one person you got to speak to. But I was hired by committee. You know, 7 out of 8 of them really loved what I had to say, and you know, wanted. But that last one was the principal, and he really liked another guy, and one of the old school ways of doing things. And of course, I didn't get to bring in my staff. I said, that's all another thing. When you get a job, make sure you can hire your staff, because if you get the staff that was previously there, they're going to want to do everything the way the old guy did it. That's kind of the situation I got into. And like I said, I was young and should have seen that coming, but I didn't. And everything I did that year was, according to those guys on that staff, was backwards and wrong. And, you know, I couldn't do anything right for them. So something I should have saw, you know, hindsight 2020, I should have seen that coming. But that's the way, one of them things, learning experience, life experiences, you know.
Yeah, I remember I was at one school for 1 year, and then probably the best thing that ever happened to me, you know. But you never see it then. But looking back retrospectively, probably the best thing that ever happened to me, because that's when I ended up at Scott's Branch, and that's when this thing really rolled and everything. So it was a blessing in disguise, you know, that
happened.
Yeah,
I 100% agree with that.
Where are you? What are your future plans? What are you planning on doing with this profession or with your life and everything?
Well, right now, you know, just going one season at a time, trying to get Mount Pleasant on the map, and I think we're doing a pretty good job of that. We're getting in all our programs. I'm getting kids involved. And that's really what I love doing. I've been a youth minister before, and so I really like the youth, working with them, and just getting this community back to respectability. I think for a long time it was in a bad spot. You know, you didn't. Mount Pleasant had a bad reputation. I think we're getting to the point where, you know, when I interviewed it, a lot of coaches I talked to said, I don't know if you want your girl. You know, you got a little girl. I don't know if you want to get I don't know if you want her to be in that school or not. And I was like, I think we'll be all right. And but we got here, and I trusted God and the direction He was pointing us in. Sure enough, she got into school, and we have a great middle school. I mean, it's one of the best ones in the state. It's a magnet school for the arts, and the high school for a long time wasn't anywhere close to the middle school. But when we got there, and then we got, like I said, the new administration come on, and they're going to make it. What they're on the path that we're on now, we've got people trying to get in. They're calling and saying, "How can we get our students in Mount Pleasant?" Because that's just the program we got. And if you look it up, if y'all can, Google Ryan Jackson and Mount Pleasant, you'll see the things that he's doing. And he's branded our school in a way that, 4 years ago people would have laughed at us and said, "Mount Pleasant's not going to be that way," you know. But we're like a campus, and that's what I want to be a part of. I like being a part of that. And so far, that's what my goal is, to make Mount Pleasant the best it can be. And, you know, in 5 or 6 years, if I get another opportunity, I mean, I'm not looking for another opportunity. I like coaching. I like coaching small ball or small school. I've coached in the upper. I've coached in 6A ball and 5A and 3A. But 1A ball, I really like it. I like the kids there. You know, you got a wide range of kids, and they're not always athletic. They're coachable. That's what I really like about those kids. They need father figures, and I think that's what God's called us into this profession to do. And man, I think He's put me in a place right now where I can make the biggest difference I can do right here.
And what's their principal name again? Ryan.
Ryan Jackson. Jackson.
Okay. I'm gonna look him up tonight. Let's see. I love to see what that what their program is about and everything.
When you see it, you'll think I'm kidding, because this guy he's about 6 foot tall, real skinny guy, but loves to lift weights with me, and he's got long blonde hair. You wouldn't think he was a principal, but I thought it was amazing when I first met him. I said, "You're not our principal. You don't look nothing like a principal." But man, he is something else, and we had a good friendship with him. He likes to lift weights, and that's what I love about him. And but he's got our school going in a great direction right now, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. I think we all come to Mount Pleasant at the exact right time, and we're gonna do great things there.
Okay, well that is great, man. Well, I'm glad that you are happy doing what you're doing and everything. And let's talk about singling for a second there, okay? I know we talked about it earlier and everything. Why do you think single wing is good for smaller schools?
Well, I think for my number one reason is you don't have a typical quarterback a lot of times. I can't stand a lot of the smaller schools that has a kid under center, and all that kid can do is turn around and hand the ball off. Because he's no threat, but you know that's the quarterback they got, and that drives me crazy. And a lot of small schools they're limited. If they don't know anything else, that's what they're limited to. They're going to put probably their worst athlete under center, and he's going to hand the ball off. And he might try to throw every once in a while, and usually it's a bad throw or a duck or something. But I think at small schools, the single wing, you put the fastest kids you got in the backfield, and everybody can catch a snap. So you snap it to them, and misdirection. You add that misdirection all you want to, and and as long as they can throw a ball a little bit, you know. Sometimes we don't throw the ball over, 15 yards, and we still gained 1,000 yards from it this year. So it's one of those things where you don't have to have the greatest athletes. You just got to have the ones that'll want to go block and tackle. You know, and the 1A kids are really good at that. They want to be they just want to be that guy that's catching snaps and running the ball. That's what I love about small school kids. Nobody's ever told them they're going to be a college quarterback and go to the NFL and any of that kind of stuff. There's no preconceived notions when I get them that they're going to be some kind of great athletic star.
Mm-hmm. You, who do you coach your offensive line or someone else does it?
Right now, Ned Rich does, the guy I'm bringing up to Conclave. He's got my offensive line, and that's what I told him. We'll go up there, and he's never been to the Conclave, so he wanted to talk to some guys about blocking, so we're going to probably get with a lot of guys in the back rooms and talk about severe angle and G.O.D. blocking or whatever somebody's got to talk about. And we're going to be talking about offensive line blocking a lot this weekend.
And what system you use now with the blocking?
I've always used the G.O.D., gap on down.
Okay.
It's just one that I've always thought. But a lot of things we'll just say your severe angle blocking here. So the kids know that terminology too.
Okay. Well, whatever you're doing, you're doing a good job of it. And, a couple of years ago when I heard you speaking and everything, and I said, boy, this man is doing something special there. And now what's the makeup of your team, the demographics of your team, the makeup of it? You told me you about this as high school and everything, but what about football?
Football-wise, we're I think I was actually talking about the football team back then, but yeah, we're about 50-50. I've got zero Hispanics this year. Hispanic, anybody like that? I don't even think we have them in the school, unless I'm mistaken. We get every once in a while we'll have a foreign exchange student come in, but for the most part we've got a 10-mile radius here. And that's the kids we're going to get. And it's a great atmosphere. There's no race problems or anything like that. But just typical high school problems right now, with behavior and all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, we're pretty well diverse. I mean, it's a good mix.
Well, that is great, man. This weekend, I may grab you and do a live live Facebook thing with you, since I'm into all this stuff right here. I'm trying to learn. I really wanted to simulcast the radio show and the Facebook Live the other night, but I screwed up something. I didn't know what I did, but I'll have it like the next time and everything.
Yeah, I was looking forward to the live broadcast. You know, I'm a good looking guy, and I wanted everybody to just see what I'm saying.
All right, there, Bronson. That's a nice plug there. Anything else you want to leave us with a parting word?
No, I think I did. I don't know if I talked about my stripes program. I've got a program that other guys might want to steal. It's called I call it the Tiger Stripes because we're the Tigers, and it is a program to be a captain. Who wants to be the captain of the team the next year? It's called the Stripes program, and S means service. And all my kids have to do community service of 10 hours, at least 10 hours a year, before at least 10 hours of community service before they can be a captain. T is for trust. They got to rely on each other, creating a healthy, dependable relationships. R is respect. They display good manners and compassion in the school and on the field, good sportsmanship and all that kind of stuff. Integrity, talking about their character and what they do when no one's looking, what they're doing online and on social media. Positive attitude is the P, being a role model for our younger kids. E is excellence. They got to set high standards of excellence in both academics and athletics. They got to have a 2.5 or higher GPA to be a captain. And S, self-discipline. Got to be able to control your feelings and overcome one's weaknesses. And with that program, we call it Tiger Stripes because it goes right with what we are. That's what you got to do. You got to fulfill all those programs to be a captain on our football team. And it's been so overwhelmingly accepted that a lot of times when people ask for community service, ask me, can I send football players? And I tell them, yeah, and I give those kids that opportunity. And they'll tell me, I only need 10. You sent too many. And I said, I bet you it's all volunteers. And they got to the point where I had to let them sign up for stuff. I can't have but 5 at this situation, whatever. So, I think that has really took off our program and that program is just awesome. And if anybody could steal something from me, other than football, I think that program, getting kids to do community service and giving them something to look forward to earn that captainship or that spot on the team. And those kids take off with it, and they'll respond if you make them do it. But, yeah, I thought that's just what I want to end on.
Well, the first thing you do, you can send that to me, okay?
yeah.
If you don't mind.
That's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah, send it to me because that sounds like something that I want to look at. The question I got, does it matter what grade, what class the kid is in? What grade
for
in
me,
on?
It doesn't.
Okay.
No, for me, I think I want, you know, I give the seniors the first opportunity. But if I go down the list and there's not a senior that matches what they're supposed to have, then I'll give it to a junior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't think it matters what class. Because if they're doing all those things, then the whole team's going to respect them. And they're the guy that needs to be the captain anyway.
That's right. Well, send it to me.
Yeah, I've got it.
Yeah. Yeah, send that to me because I'd be interested in looking at something like that. You know,
I'll send it to you.
Yeah, like I tell folks all the time, I'm sitting in the best seat in the world because I get to talk to folks and get ideas and everything to make the program, to make my program just a little bit better than what it is right now. You know, this is why I love this right here. You know, get a cheat sheet and everything. Well, I'm gonna let you go, Brunson, to Mama, so she can enjoy your summer and to your daughter and everything. So it won't take up too much of your time.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, man, I sure appreciate you coming on and during the middle of the week and everything. And you being patient, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I enjoy it.
Okay, man. Well, we'll talk probably this week.
Sure thing.
Okay, man. Have a good night.
All right, bye. You too.
All right, bye-bye. Guys, that was the great Brunson Bradley from Mount Pleasant High School in Mount Pleasant, Tennessee. And, you know, again, you know, you learn so much and from people and things that they're doing at the school and everything. And I love sitting in this seat because you learn so much. Well, that's the end of our show for tonight, guys. And listen, I am so happy that you were able to tune in and everything. Of course, this is uploaded and podcast and everything. You know, continue to send in those good responses. If you got bad responses, send them too. You know, I look at the good and the bad also. You know, what we want to do is improve the show for you. Again, if you know someone who is interested in being on the show, let me know. You can text it to me. You can Facebook me. And for some of you, you can like me on my page, my Facebook page, Run the Hammer. That's where a lot of the information, and I'm working through it to try to get that page a little bit more attractive and everything, and by the next week or two, we should have that done. And next week, we got the great, well, not next week, but Sunday, the next guest is going to be the great Bruce Ean from California. Bruce, been doing this thing a long time, and gosh, another legend. So tune in on Sunday. I'll be having this stuff up here here pretty soon, and continue to enjoy the shows, guys. Well, I'm gonna bid you a good night, and thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll get a chance to do this again on Sunday. Maybe I can get the glitches worked out where we can do a live Facebook on. Guys, have a good night.
For me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. the colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, much more than I ever knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Good night, everybody, and give somebody a hug and tell them you love them. See you on Sunday.